Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're exploring a really foundational idea from one Buddhism. It's called the grace of heaven and earth.
That's right, Chanji Un.
You know, your first thought might just be, oh, gratitude for nature, sunsets, fresh air, that sort of thing.
Which is definitely part of it, for sure.
But it seems like there's, well, a much richer meaning we need to unpack here.
Absolutely. It goes quite a bit deeper than just appreciating a nice view.
So the big questions for this deep dive are, what exactly is this grace of heaven and earth, and why is it considered so foundational?
That's the core of it. Why is this the starting point in many ways?
Okay, let's get into it. Where do we even begin with something this fundamental? It feels huge.
Well, it sits right at the top. In one Buddhism, there are the four great graces, and this one, heaven and earth, is the first. Foundational, like you said.
The first one, okay.
And the scripture of one Buddhism puts it, well, very directly. It asks, could we live without heaven and earth?
And the answer is pretty obvious, right?
No way. That's the literal translation. Think about it physically, just for a second. Air.
Can't live without it.
The ground we stand on.
Nope. Need that too.
So the basic starting point is just acknowledging that our actual physical existence completely depends on this constant support system.
No way is definitely right. I mean, those are non-negotiable. But you hinted it's more than just the physical stuff.
It is. The grace extends beyond the material.
Yeah.
It encompasses the Tao, you know,
yeah.
The natural way, the underlying order that governs everything.
The Tao, like the universal operating system.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Think of it like the inherent principles of how the universe works. And crucially, it's seen as fair, impartial.
Impartial.
Yeah, and eternally operating. It doesn't play favorites. It just functions.
Okay. And the virtue. You mentioned virtue.
Right. The virtue flows from that order. It's the blessings we get because of that natural way, like rain falling and nourishing crops.
Ah, so the Tao is the system. The virtue is the benefit we receive from the system working.
Exactly. It's this consistent, life-giving process. And we're all part of this rhythm, you know?
Yeah.
We participate in it.
So the insight here isn't just be thankful. It's more active.
It's that gratitude implies participation. It means we should try to mirror that fairness, that impartiality in our own lives.
Right. So it's not just receiving a gift passively. It's about how we respond, how we connect to that whole ongoing process.
Precisely.
Now, you mentioned the scripture again. Does it, like, break this down, or is it more poetic?
Well, it's actually quite structured. It lays out the grace of heaven and earth in five key parts. Makes it pretty accessible, really.
Five parts. Okay. What's the first word?
The first is blessings received. This lists the tangible things, air for breathing, earth to stand on, sunlight to see, rain for food. The essentials we talked about.
The basics.
But the crucial element here is the emphasis on the eternal nature of heaven and earth. They're the constant sustainers of this whole cycle of life.
Eternal. So it's not just appreciating this breath of air, but the fact that air is always available reliably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It highlights this continuous, dependable foundation that makes life possible. It's always there.
Okay, that adds a different layer. What's the second part?
The second part is repaying the grace.
Ah, okay. This is the active part you mentioned.
Right. Since heaven and earth operate with this fairness and inclusivity, the teaching is that we should try to mirror those qualities.
How do we do that?
By acting justly, trying to let go of our biases, which is hard, and cultivating a clear, discerning mind. Basically, trying to embody the positive qualities we see in the universe's own functioning.
So it's less about a specific action, like recycling, though maybe that's part of it, and more about our internal state and how we interact with others?
It encompasses both, really. But yes, the internal state, the fairness, the clarity is key to acting in alignment.
Okay, so blessings received, then repaying the grace by mirroring its qualities. What's next?
Part three is neglecting the grace.
Right, the flip side.
And this can happen in two main ways. Either you're just, well, unaware. You don't even recognize the blessings you're constantly receiving.
Ignorance, basically. Taking it all for granted.
Yeah. Or, maybe more significantly, you do know, you understand the principles, but you consciously fail to act in line with them. You know better, but don't do better.
Okay. So simple unawareness or a kind of willful misalignment. What about the results of these paths? Rewards first.
The fourth part is the reward of repaying the grace.
What does that look like?
It's described as becoming one with heaven and earth.
One with heaven and earth. That sounds pretty mystical.
It does, but think of it less as literally merging and more as achieving a state of alignment. You're in harmony with the universe's natural flow, its wisdom, deep connection, peace.
So like being in the zone, but on a cosmic scale, living in sync with how things naturally work.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, a state of natural harmony.
Okay, that sounds incredibly peaceful. Now, the consequences of neglecting it. You mentioned heavenly retribution earlier, which sounded harsh.
It sounds harsh, but the context is important. It's not about some angry deity punishing you.
No.
No. It's understood more as the natural negative consequences that just arise when you live out of harmony with that universal order.
Like cause and effect.
Exactly. Think of the stress, the suffering, the confusion that comes from ignorance or from acting out of bias or from harming others. It's the inherent discord you create by being misaligned.
So the retribution is the friction and suffering caused by going against the grain of the universe, not a lightning bolt from above.
Precisely. It's a much more naturalistic understanding of consequence.
That makes a lot more sense. This whole structure, then blessings, how to respond, the consequences of responding well or poorly, it feels very practical.
It absolutely is. That structure is intentional. It's meant to be a kind of roadmap. One Buddhism really emphasizes practical application, not just sitting around thinking deep thoughts.
Practical spirituality, you could call it.
Yeah, that fits. It's a framework for integrating these profound ideas into how you actually live day to day.
You see how you're constantly receiving, which creates a sort of responsibility to reflect that generosity and fairness back out. And there are natural outcomes depending on how well you do that.
It's a call to live responsibly within this larger system we're part of.
You know, it reminds me, I was talking to a friend. She comes from a Christian background.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was trying to explain this idea, this eternal, impartial, life-sustaining force, she said, that sounds a lot like how I think about God.
That's a really common connection people make. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
The scripture itself really highlights those qualities.
Yeah.
Eternal, fair, unconditionally giving, qualities many traditions ascribe to a higher power.
Like the part about heaven and earth having no good or bad fortune.
Exactly. Meaning their embrace, their support is for everyone and everything without judgment or prejudice. It resonates with concepts like unconditional love found elsewhere.
It really does seem to point towards something potentially universal, doesn't it? Whether someone calls it God or nature with a capital N or the Tao.
Or the grace of heaven and earth. It taps into that fundamental human sense of being part of something larger, something impartial and sustaining.
Right. Which brings us to, well, the modern world. How does this apply now? We're not all farmers directly feeling the rain or sun in the same way.
That's the key question, isn't it? How do we translate this into life surrounded by, you know, screens and concrete?
Yeah, how do you repay the grace when you're mostly dealing with Wi-Fi signals?
Well, let's think about the environment. The earth gives us air, water, resources, right?
Still does, yeah.
So caring for the environment, things like recycling, reducing waste, maybe supporting conservation, that becomes a really direct, tangible way of respecting those gifts. Mm. It's repaying the grace shown by the earth.
Okay, so environmental stewardship is a modern way to practice this. What about people?
Good point. Think about the impartiality aspect. The universe is inclusive. So in our interactions, trying to practice fairness, openness, maybe consciously working to let go of snap judgments about people.
Like trying not to pigeonhole people based on first impressions.
Exactly. Or based on group identities. Trying to see the individual, mirroring that universal, non-biased embrace. That's repaying the grace in our relationships.
So small everyday actions and internal shifts in attitude can be ways of participating. Do you have any, like, personal practices around this?
Something I find helpful is just taking a moment, maybe once a day, to consciously notice something small.
Like what?
Like the feeling of a breeze or the warmth of the sun, even through a window, and just briefly acknowledging that as a manifestation of this grace of heaven and earth.
Ah, just a little moment of recognition.
Yeah. It helps cultivate that gratitude, reminds me of the constant support, and kind of grounds me. It shifts the perspective away from just the hassles of the day.
That's really lovely. Simple, but I can see how that would be powerful, just noticing, appreciating. Maybe that's something you listening could try too. Just a small moment of awareness.
It's a very accessible way to connect with this deep teaching.
So wrapping things up then, the grace of heaven and earth, it's really not just about saying thanks for the nice weather.
Not at all. It's a profound recognition of our complete interconnection with and reliance on the universe, the constant support we receive, seen and unseen.
And it's an encouragement, right, to actively notice all these gifts, the big ones like air, the subtle ones like the principle of fairness.
And to let that noticing, that gratitude, actually shape how we act, how we live, how we are in the world.
It really makes you reconsider everything. The air you're breathing right now, the ground supporting you, even the potential for fairness in your next conversation. It's all part of this grace.
It's pervasive.
A powerful reminder. Maybe just try actively noticing those gifts around you today. Let that gratitude sink in and see how it might shift your actions, even slightly.
And maybe ponder this. Isn't it fascinating how this single concept bridges the utterly physical, like the air itself, with the deeply ethical and interpersonal, like fairness in our relationships? It connects the cosmic and the everyday.
Thank you so much. This has been incredibly insightful.
It was my pleasure. Always good to explore these deep principles.
And thank you, our listeners, for joining us on this deep dive into One Buddhism. If this resonated with you, maybe share it with someone else you think might find it valuable. You can find the deep dive on all the usual podcast platforms, and we always appreciate hearing from you.
Until next time, keep noticing that grace that's all around you.
Yes. And until next time, keep dancing with the universe.